love to sing the Christmas carols? Who doesn't? Raise your hand. Right. You know, Christmas is really for kids, isn't it? Especially for God's kids, okay? And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're one of God's kids. Aren't you glad? Well, I sure am. Okay, I'm going to give you a memory test. I know I keep telling you and reminding you, my forget is getting better all the time, and it has. Do you find that yours is the same way? I see a couple of heads nodding in agreement, okay? Well, let me give you a memory test. Do you remember, and maybe most recently too, so it's not really a challenge, but do you remember when you wanted to give a very special gift? I mean a really special and unique gift to someone who's very special. Someone you really loved. And it wasn't just something that you just quickly bought at Walmart or something like that, but you put a lot of thought into it. And you took your time because you really wanted it to be a very special gift. Not something that they could, you know, like a box of cookies or a box of chocolates that they could eat in one day or one week and there it's gone. But I mean a special gift that would always remind them of how much you love them and your affection for them. Do you remember seeking for a gift like that for somebody? Yeah, I hope you do. But you know, even if you can't remember that, God did just that for you and me. A very, very special gift that expresses His love and His affection for each and every one of us here. Yes, it took time. In the fullness of time, He sent forth that gift, didn't He? Now that gift, of course, you know, because we celebrate the advent of Christ. That gift is His Son, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad? We're going to look in God's Word and see how that gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, is that special, unique, and awesome gift that keeps on giving. Don't you like to give a gift that keeps on giving? Well, that's exactly the kind of gift that God the Father has given to you and me. That unique, special gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to take a look in His Word. In God's Word, that is, about that gift that keeps on giving, that gift to His Son. So I invite you to take out your outline. You know that gift that keeps on giving, that Paul received, was so profound in changing his life that when he would refer to that gift, like to the Corinthian believers there in Corinth, he said this: thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. That doesn't mean that Paul didn't take time to think about and to write about and to talk about the gift that God gave him, His Son, Jesus Christ. That word inexpressible or indescribable means that it's such an amazing gift in the very person of God, His Son, Jesus Christ, that Paul is almost at a loss for words. Can you imagine that? The Apostle Paul being at a loss for words? At a loss for words to describe the uniqueness, the specialness of the gift, God's Son, Jesus Christ. Do you find at times, too, when you describe your Savior, Jesus Christ, to maybe a son or daughter, a grandson or granddaughter, or maybe someone else at work, or maybe someone there at school, or maybe your next door neighbor, that sometimes you find that you have a loss for words? Sometimes I do. Do you? And that's how Paul felt. Jesus is so amazing, isn't He? Amen. And that Paul couldn't take all the words, and that all the words that Paul could possibly use would describe and explain Jesus Christ in His entirety. Let's take a look, if you will. I know that some people say, in fact, they hear it on the radio, you know, God's gift is eternal life. No, God's gift is His Son. God is His Son, Jesus Christ, and through Him, He keeps on giving and giving and giving. We'll take a look at some of those, if you will, blessings of His giving through His life and His life presence in your life and in my life. But look at that, if you will, that Christmas verse. It is a Christmas verse. John 3:16. Let's all, I know you know it. Your forgetter isn't that bad, okay? We all know it, okay? John 3:16. Let's say it together, okay? And I'm going to be watching. Okay, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the gift of is his Son, isn't it? Amen. Well, let's go on, because Jesus Christ, that gives, he gives out of himself and all that he is and all that he has done and is doing right now as our great high priest there in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. All that he is and all that he is doing right now, he gives us that new life that keeps overflowing. Take a look at your verse there, if you will. John 10:10. When the Lord talks about himself being the good shepherd, he identifies with that shepherd of Psalm 23. So you can say, Jesus is my Lord. He's my shepherd. Let's go on, if you will. The thief only comes only to steal. I'm sorry. Let me begin that again. Thank you. Thank you, Henry. Henry says, keep it down, Will. Keep it down. He's my brother. He's my elder. Not old. I'm older than him. Okay. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came, for that's my Jesus. Is he your Jesus? I came that they may have life and have it. What? Abundantly. There is that truth, that teaching, that amazing blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have him as God's gift to you personally, your personal relation, a relationship with your personal Savior and Lord, you have that abundant life. Now, there are many things that try to rob you of that abundant life in this world. But that abundant life should be overflowing in every born-again believer. Let's take a look. The word parason is used there. It means extraordinary. It means something that's abundant and overflowing. And to them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, that's the Christmas gift. It's not just the babe in Bethlehem. Yes, it's all of that. And the fulfillment of God's wonderful promises of the coming Messiah. He's not that just, if you will, that good teacher and perfect man, the God-man. He's perfectly fulfilling the law of God. He's all of that. He's not that perfect healer, and he's all of that too. He's not just that, but he's so much more. He died on the cross for you and for me. Think of that. He rose again triumphantly from the grave on the third day. That's my Jesus. Is that your Jesus? That's God's gift. His Son, Jesus Christ. And we celebrate his advent. But we also celebrate not his advent only here to this world that so desperately needs the Savior, but we celebrate also the advent, coming of Christ into our lives. Are you celebrating that fact, that truth? I pray you are. I pray you are. Take a look at your outline before you. Jesus is that gift that keeps on giving to all who have received him and trusted him for salvation. That's a fact. That's a truth. That's a reality in the life of the believer in Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, I just mentioned some of the things that Jesus keeps on giving as that living gift from God the Father. Fellowship with God. That's a wonderful blessing. Love. Love unbounded. Power with the Holy Spirit. Peace that surpasses all understanding. What else does he give us? Hope. Hope, that living hope. Not a dead hope. Not a hope so hope. Not a wish so hope. But a living hope in him. And of course, eternal life. And there's so much more. Oh, I mean that, seriously. There's so much more that he keeps on giving. If you know him as your Savior and Lord, as you have received that gift from God, his Son. Do you know, like many natural gifts, there's a cause and effect. The cause of the giving of the gift, the receiving of the gift, the effect of how that gift has effect in your life and mine. And Jesus, God's perfect, amazing gift, his Son Jesus Christ, will bring an effect in your life and my life. He will bring an effect in our marriages. He will bring an effect in our families. He will bring an effect because of who he is in his church. And take a look, if you will, that cause and effect. God's gift, Jesus, God's gift to us keeps on giving. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, you need to turn there, but Paul says, but through knowing him, Peter says, through knowing him, we have everything we need for life and godliness. Peter said the same thing we're saying this morning. Jesus Christ is that gift from God that keeps on giving for life and godliness in your life and my life. And obviously, that giving of himself and that grace that he gives in your life and into my life will have an effect. And that's the first thing we're going to be looking at very quickly now. As you take a look at your outline, he gives us grace. Grace, that would mean just the attitude. Indeed, it encompasses the attitude that God has us. Unmerited favor. You've heard that as a description or a definition for grace. It's all of that. But it's more, much more than just God's attitude towards us, a loving attitude, a gracious attitude. It's also God's act in our lives, bringing us to his Son, Jesus Christ, making known to us and understanding that Jesus Christ, God's gift, died for your sins and for my sins. And know that he who died for you and for me also rose triumphantly from the grave. You see, that's what grace does. But it doesn't stop there. Aren't you glad? That's why it says there in John chapter 1, grace upon grace that we receive him. You see, the gift that God gives us, his Son, never stops giving that grace. That grace trains us and teaches us to say no to unrighteousness and ungodliness. And to say yes to godliness and all those things that please our Heavenly Father. But it not only trains us, it also enables us to do those things. Aren't you glad? You see, that's just one of the gifts that Jesus Christ, the gift, keeps pouring out into our lives every day. And so the grace of God is so important to each and every one of us. Take a look, if you will, at this. The grace that saves us is the grace that keeps us, is the grace that changes us, and is the grace that will lead us home. I'm going home. How about you? Oh, I mean sometime today to that, you know, temporary dwelling. But I'm going home. Are you going home? I know where my home is in eternity. But that's also one of the blessings that you have through the gift that keeps on giving. That gift, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And from his fullness we have received, all received, grace upon grace. An overflowing in its supply. That's what he's referring to. The overflowing of that amazing grace of God. Paul says this in Romans chapter 5. Where our sin did increase, oh boy, we're lost. Yeah? No, not really. He says, where our sin did increase, God's grace did that much more. Grace. You know what he's saying? If you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that in the face of our sins every day, and we do sin every day, that God's grace is overflowing, grace upon grace. We'll be looking at a little bit more about those effects, but that you and I can know that we are not only saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but we are never broken from that relationship with Jesus as his children. Now, it will affect our fellowship with him, and we'll be taking a look at that shortly. But one of the blessings you and I have from the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, is grace upon grace. Take a look at the next verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that expresses that same thought. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Oh, I love that. And so having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. We've got to say through the Apostle Paul, through this his word, God's word, that not only is the overflowing grace in full supply, a never-ending supply for you and I, but he's also saying that it's overcoming grace in all sufficiency for us. Whatever your need, beloved, whatever your need is today, God's grace is more than sufficient in his Son, Jesus Christ, for you. He is that gift that keeps giving. Aren't you glad? I show you, because I need his grace every day. You and I don't have to live on yesterday's grace or on a memory from the past. We can live on that grace today because Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. Cause, God's grace. What is the effect? It's got to have an effect on us. God says it does, okay? That should be enough. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fitted as is fit for the occasion, that it may give what? Grace to those who hear. Yes, God's abounding, all-sufficient, overwhelming grace in our life because of Jesus Christ, God's unique and special gift, brings change in our lives. Let's take another look at another verse, if you will. And you, and as you and I receive the overflowing, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Yes. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. God's grace at work in you through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, will bring about an effect, will bring about a change. As you and I receive the overflowing grace of God through Christ, we are to be gracious with others. You see, because of God's grace in His Son, Jesus Christ, flowing and overflowing in our lives, we don't have to judge. In fact, we shouldn't judge. We should not judge. We should not gossip. We should not put down. We should not condemn. But rather, we should build up. We should instruct. We should comfort. We should encourage. And we should strengthen. You see, that's what grace does. Aren't you glad? And grace only does that because of Jesus Christ. Because it's through Him you have received, and I have received, grace upon grace upon grace. Overflowing, all sufficient. But there's something else too. The gift that keeps on giving is not only God's grace, but cleansing and forgiveness. Let me ask you this. Have you ever thought what you would be like, or what your life would be like right now if you weren't forgiven and cleansed by God? Have you? Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's not just think, well, if you know, I would be such a bad guy. I laugh a lot, I have a good time. I'm not as bad as some other people I know. We can't even begin to entertain that thought by comparing ourselves with others. The only one you and I can compare ourselves with, and everyone will be compared to, is the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, have you ever given a thought what you would be like and what your life would be like if you weren't forgiven by God in Christ? Let me tell you what it would be like. It would be a living and walking hell. No hope. No grace. Growing in bitterness, separation from God. But aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ came? The greatest gift of all, the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And through Him, we have grace upon grace, but we also have cleansing and forgiveness. Amen? Yes! So life is not without hope. It is with hope, a living hope. Life doesn't have to be bitter, resentful, and also comparing ourselves with other people. I hope you don't do that. We don't have to. Jesus Christ is all sufficient for us. And in that sufficiency of Jesus Christ, take a look. We have that cleansing. This is the cause. But if we walk, take a look at your verses there, from John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light, He is as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, what? Cleanses us from all sin. That word cleanses in the present tense, which means He continually cleanses. That doesn't mean that Jesus Christ had to be crucified every day, like some also teach and practice, okay? No, Christ died once for all, for your sins, for my sins, and for the sins. sins of the world. But what John is saying there is that the payment of Christ, the shedding of Christ's blood in sacrifice for you and for I, still has that cleansing power. Still has that cleansing power to forgive us and to cleanse us because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so, he goes on, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from some. No. Half. No. What does it say there? Come on. All unrighteousness. Aren't you glad? There's no penance. No payment. No hiding. No shame. No guilt. Cleansing and forgiveness. If that's a cause, how will it affect your life and my life? Let's take a look at the effect. Paul writes this to the Colossian believers. And it's about that wonderful blessing of cleansing and forgiveness in our life. Take a look. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion. We can do that now. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, what does it say there? Forgiving each other. Isn't that nice? Yeah, that's the effect. The cause is Jesus Christ. And the cleansing and forgiveness that is brought into your life and my life. And then he goes on to say, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You see, in addition to the freedom through Christ alone, free from guilt, shame, because our sins are forgiven and our lives are cleansed, we now have freedom. We also have a command to forgive one another. You see, truly Christ is that gift that keeps on giving. Let's go on. There's another aspect we want to look at. Joy. How many have joy today? All right. Don't be afraid. You don't want to raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. Okay. But part of that giving that Jesus Christ keeps giving into your life and my life, because he is the greatest gift of God, is the joy. The joy that only God can give us. Not the world, not one another. Although we do experience joy with each other, we do experience joy in this world. I'm not denying that at all. But there is a joy that Jesus Christ gives. Take a look, if you will, at the verse there. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you. Now take a look real close right now. That my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Amen. You see, the gift, Jesus Christ, that keeps on giving, not only gives us grace and cleansing and forgiveness, but also gives us overflowing and abounding joy. You know what he's saying here? That your joy may be full and my joy may be in you, is that Jesus' joy is contagious. Aren't you glad? It is contagious. The joy of the Lord is contagious both within our lives and outside of our lives. People know the difference. They really do. And you know the difference too when you don't have that joy. David lost that joy because of sin in his life until he repented and confessed his sin and was forgiven. That joy was restored. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have that joy that you had before when you first received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, there are a lot of joy robbers. Someday we'll have a series on the joy robbers. But let me just mention, there are joy robbers in this world. There really are. There are joy robbers that want to touch your life and rob you of that joy of your salvation, rob you of the joy of the Lord. Have they done that in your life today? If they have, I need to tell you, dear loved one, that because of who Jesus Christ is, the greatest gift in all of this world, you can have that contagious joy again. Remember when you were first saved? Remember when you know that your sins were forgiven? You know that you know that you knew the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. How'd you feel?
What?
How are you now? Is it just a memory? Is it just a memory? I pray it isn't. Because of who Jesus Christ is, the greatest gift in all this world. He's the gift that keeps giving and giving and giving. One of the blessings that He gives is that contagious joy. Have you caught it yet? Have you? Well, let me ask you this question. When you meet with your family or friends today or this week, are they going to catch it too? Huh? They can! They can! Just let that grace of God just splash out over them, okay? And let that contagious joy, the fullness of Christ's life and joy within you, so impact their lives. Because you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, we live in a world that is getting less and less joyful. Have you noticed? Is that where you're at? I hope it isn't. Because you can have that joy overflowing and contagious. The effect, though you have not seen Him, Peter writes, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with what? Three-letter word. Joy, with joy that is inexpressible. Peter is not saying, like Paul said also, that you can't express it, but he's saying it's just so overwhelming, so contagious, if you will, so overflowing. Filled with glory. You see, that's what the world needs to see here today and every day. The manifest glory of Jesus Christ. The grace gives you all. That gift, that living gift, that amazing gift, God's Son, Jesus Christ, is a gift that keeps giving and giving. Aren't you glad? And you know something? Oh, you know this, I know. But let me say it. He doesn't wait until next Christmas to give it to you. Aren't you glad? Yeah, I can have it today and every day. Grace. Cleansing and forgiveness. Joy. Now, that joy of the Lord is not only your strength, but the joy of the Lord's presence, the joy of worshiping the Lord, the joy of salvation, the joy of serving the Lord, the joy of giving, the joy of seeing others come to have a new life in Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a joy time, isn't it? Yeah. The joy of true faith in the midst of trials. Yes, we can have joy in the midst of suffering and trials. Joy in the hope of Christ's return and heaven will come. Beloved, I'm just starting, but I know that we said it was going to be a short service. Okay. We could be here all day. Talking about the gift that keeps giving. We mentioned three. Now here's a test of your memory. What was the first one? Grace. Grace upon grace. Second one? Cleansing and forgiveness. If we would confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What was the third one? Joy. We've just scratched the surface. We've just begun. May you begin today, as you think of the advent of Christ, think of also the impact and the amazing change that His advent has had in your life, your marriage, your family, His church. I would be remiss if I didn't ask everyone here today, have you personally received God's greatest gift? Have you? If you haven't, you can today. That greatest gift is Jesus Christ, God's Son. You know that already because I've said it so many times. But it's just not someone to be spoken of, but He's someone to be received. personally. But as many as received him, John tells us, to them he gave the power, the authority to become the children of God. And along with that invitation, Jesus Christ says, behold, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and sup with them. Let's talk about fellowship, a relationship. Have you opened your heart? I'm not talking about just opening your house with Christmas trees, Christmas decorations, but have you opened your heart to the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ? If you haven't, you can do that today. Let's just pray right now. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can just pray with me. It's a simple prayer. There's nothing special about the wording of this prayer, which is a simple heart expression of a recognition of a need, because we are sinners and we need a Savior. If you would just simply pray with me, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I have rebelled against your laws, against your ways. I believe you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be my Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for my sins and paid the penalty for my sins and my judgment, and that he rose again on the third day to be my ever-living, everlasting Savior. So Lord Jesus, I hear you speaking to my heart, to my soul, and I open up my life and I ask you to come in, cleanse and forgive me, and I receive you this day as the greatest gift in all this world, yourself. In your name I pray. Amen. As our heads are still bowed, maybe you're here this morning, you received Christ many years ago, maybe even months ago. But some of the things that we looked at in God's Word, such as grace upon grace, cleansing and forgiveness, joy, the joy of the Lord, and so much more, maybe you're saying in your heart, Bill, I know I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I don't really experience today the joy I had before with Him. I know that I have sinned and I've gone against God's ways. I need to confess that today. And that's where you're at right now. Dearly loved one, you can know that grace upon grace is there for you because of Christ. Would you just simply pray with me this morning? Dear Lord Jesus, I know you as my personal Savior, but I've gone my own way. I've distanced myself from you. I now draw myself back to you in faith, believing by your grace. Forgive my sins, cleanse my heart, and renew that joy of salvation in me. For your glory I pray. Amen.